RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
The T-Biz podcast delivers T-news that you need to know. A recap of the week's major headlines with commentary and cultural trends hosted by Dan Bolton. It is the voice of origin for tea professionals and enthusiasts worldwide.
The T-Biz podcast and blog connect you directly to experts in the tea lands. Listen as their voices reveal the news, innovations, cultural insights, and consumer trends that most impact the industry. Paired with Tea Journey, a digital magazine for tea enthusiasts, the T-Biz portal is a global resource for everyone who loves tea. Hello, everyone. Here are this week's headlines. Continuous deluges kill scores in Darjeeling and Ilam. International tea importers closes after 35 years. And Kenya launches an orthodox tea auction, opening a new chapter in specialty trade. Plus, the 8th India International Tea Convention was held under the banner Innovating the Tea Ecosystem for Tomorrow at the Grand Hyatt Kochi, Bogati, in Kerala, India. This gathering marked the long-awaited return of IITC after a several-year hiatus under the aegis of YPASI, the United Planters Association of Southern India. The convention aimed to recharge India's tea discourse to connect producers, drive innovation, re-examine sustainability, and reassert India's role in the global specialty tea ecosystem. I spoke at the event and recorded my observations later for this podcast. In memoriam, Harjeet Singh Behta, who began a 50-year career at Malayalam and later managed Nonsuch Estates, has passed. Close friend Eddie Kahana writes that on his regular evening walk, coming around a blind bend, he was startled by a herd of elephants up close and wheeling around. Passers-by noted that he was not trampled, but apparently received a blow to the head in falling that proved fatal. More in a minute. But first, this important message.
What happens when businesses along the tea supply chain get together and support women and children in tea communities? The Mother and Child-Friendly Seal for Responsible Business is creating long-term positive impacts, making your cup of Ceylon tea all the sweeter. Learn more at srilanka-motherandchildseal.org.
An ongoing deluge kills scores in Darjeeling and Ilam, Nepal. Catastrophic floods and landslides continue to batter India's Darjeeling Hills and eastern Nepal, leaving a trail of destruction across the world's most storied mountain tea regions. At least 24 people have died in India and 50 in Nepal, with dozens still missing. Entire slopes have collapsed, sweeping away homes, bridges, and tea factories. Power and communication lines remain down in several hill sectors, and major routes linking Siliguri, Tumerik, and Darjeeling remain impassable. The tea industry has suffered immense damage. Around 30 to 35 Darjeeling gardens, nearly half of the region's 71 operational estates, report severe infrastructure loss. Landslides have buried sections of tea fields under meters of debris, while floodwaters have uprooted thousands of mature bushes. Irrigation canals and internal roads were washed out, and several factories stand filled with silt and stones. Planners estimate losses exceeding 50 crore, with some gardens rendered unworkable for the remainder of the season. The Tea Board of India and the Indian Tea Association are jointly assessing damage and preparing a formal relief appeal to the West Bengal government. Across the border in eastern Nepal's Ilam and Punchar districts, the devastation is equally grim. Torrential rains destroyed or submerged hundreds of hectares of tea farmland, much of it smallholder operated. Factories at lower elevations were inundated as swollen rivers carried away tea dryers, machinery, and raw leaf stocks. Producers warn of an impending supply gap as the autumnal flush is likely lost. In Ilam alone, 37 deaths have been confirmed, and dozens of families employed in the tea sector remain displaced. Local tea leaders say the twin disasters underscore the region's growing vulnerability to climate change. Soil saturation and deforestation have made steep plantations increasingly prone to collapse, while heavier monsoon bursts overwhelm drainage systems. As one planter told TBiz, quote, "The hills are shifting under our feet. We must rebuild smarter terraces, drainage, and community resilience must be part of the tea survival strategy." Business insight. The tea community is rallying to support workers and families affected by the devastating floods and landslides in Darjeeling and eastern Nepal. Immediate relief efforts are being coordinated by the Tea Association of India, the United Planters Association of Southern India, UPASI, and the Darjeeling Tea Association, which are channeling funds towards emergency housing, medical aid, and estate repairs. In Nepal, assistance is being organized through the Ilam Tea Producers Association and the Nepal Red Cross Society, which are delivering food and essential supplies to displaced tea workers. Contributions of any size can help restore livelihoods and rebuild critical infrastructure in these mountain tea communities. For detailed information on how you can help, visit TBiz, that's TEABEIZ.com. In Los Angeles this week, International Tea Importers, one of North America's most recognized specialty tea suppliers, confirmed it has ceased operations after 35 years in business. Founded in 1990 by the late Devon Shaw, ITI grew from a small family import venture into one of the largest independent specialty tea distributors in the United States. After his sudden passing in 2016, Shaw's wife, Rena, and children, Brendan and Bianca Shaw, as well as other family, including nephew Bhavan Shaw, continued to run the company and its affiliated Chato Tea Rooms in Los Angeles. In a statement posted to the company's website, teavendor.com, the family wrote that, quote, "After much reflection and consideration, we have made the difficult decision to wind down operations at International Tea Importers." The note thanked employees, suppliers, and longtime customers, quote, "for their loyalty and friendship through decades of trade," end quote. Speaking with TBiz, Brendan Shaw said the decision followed several challenging years for importers, quote, "At the time of the closure, we had about 25 employees, many of them with the company for two decades or more," he said. "We tried our best to find them employment elsewhere. Some have started their own blending or co-packing ventures, and we've been directing customers their way where it makes sense." His cousin, Bhavan Shaw, described a confluence of pressures that proved difficult to overcome after 2019, rising California operating costs, escalating international tariffs, pandemic-era disruptions, and a shrinking of the U.S. tea room sector. Quote, "Everything we knew about the specialty tea business has been shifting," he said. "Free trade assumptions no longer hold, logistics costs are unpredictable, many suppliers are going direct to retailers. It's a fundamentally different landscape," end quote. In 2019, ITI employed about 60 people and maintained a vast catalog of premium loose-leaf teas and blends sourced from India, China, Japan, and East Africa. The company was widely respected for its relationships at origin and for helping hundreds of small U.S. tea retailers establish supply chains during the early specialty tea boom. The Shaw family emphasized that Chato Tea Rooms, with four locations across Los Angeles, will continue to operate, focusing more tightly on customer experience and curated tea menus. Quote, "Our commitment to quality and to the culture of tea remains," said Brendan. "We're evolving, not disappearing," end quote. Business insight. International Tea Importers' closure marks the end of an era in American specialty tea importing, but also perhaps the beginning of a new one shaped by smaller, more agile partnerships between growers, blenders, and tea room entrepreneurs. Kenya launches Orthodox Tea Auction, opening a new chapter in specialty trade. Kenya, the world's leading exporter of CTC, that's crushed hair curl teas, has taken a bold step into specialty tea with its first Orthodox Tea Auction. The debut sale was held at the East Africa Tea Trade Association's Mombasa Auction Center, the same platform that processes the bulk of Kenya's CTC volumes. Roughly 92,000 kilos of Orthodox teas were offered across 2,900 lots, fetching an average price of $3.70 per kilo USD, a significant premium to CTC averages of $2.28 per kilo USD. This price differential highlights the potential value of whole leaf and specialty teas in global markets. EATTA CEO George Omuga said the auction, quote, achieved an impressive 90% absorption rate with prices outpacing those of CTC teas, end quote. He told Seed Farm, quote, it's our time to show the globe where the best Orthodox tea on earth exists. What happens in the auction sets the pace for the global tea trade and tea prices, end quote. Orthodox tea still accounts for a small share of Kenya's output, approximately 15 million kilos in 2024, but the government and industry are aiming for much higher levels. Their target is 200 million kilos by 2030, implying substantial investment in new processing capability, leaf quality training for smallholders, and modernization of value-added factory lines and infrastructure. For Kenya, long known for its volume and strong blend CTC production, this pivot signals a possible transformation from commodity supplier to specialty origin. Muga writes that the inaugural auction on September 24th, quote, was not just historic for Kenya, but for global tea markets, end quote. This is the Tea Price Report for week 40, ending October 4th, 2025. This week in tea markets, quality continued to earn premiums across major auctions. In East Africa, lighter catalogs at Mombasa helped PF1 and BP1 hold firm, though plainer grades still met resistance. In Sri Lanka, Colombo seasonal Uva lines drew keen bids, while other Orthodox grades traded at irregular rates. India's Kolkata and Guwahati auctions were steady overall as retail inflation remained contained. On the destination side, Pakistan's weekly index was mixed while U.S. beverage prices ticked higher on the month. Bottom line, quality sells, buyers remain disciplined, and premiums are increasingly tied to leaf cleanliness and cup brightness. At your Tea Price Report, week 40. For expanded coverage, visit teajourney.pub and select the Tea Biz Tea Price Report. And now, a word from this week's sponsor.
Hello, I'm Bogdan, a passionate tea drinker and the inventor of the ultimate tea machine, the Brewmaker One. Preparation is key to making fine tea. Sequential steepings deliver the best taste possible and unlock the true value of whole leaf teas and botanicals. Brew automates that process without using any pots or capsules. This simple-to-operate smartphone-controlled device stores steeping profiles to consistently make great tea at the push of a button. Brew also reduces time, waste, and energy. That's because I engineered the brew to remember control settings for temperature, brewing time, and quantity. Using my patented process lets you stack, steep simply and conveniently.
This is Dan Bolton reporting from Kochi, Kerala, where the India International Tea Convention 2025 brought together 450 delegates from across the tea world. Planters, exporters, scientists, marketers, and policymakers for 3 days of conversation, exhibition, and tasting under the banner Innovating in the Tea Ecosystem for Tomorrow. It's been several years since the last IITC gathering hosted by the United Planters Association of Southern India, and the mood this year was of cautious optimism. The venue, the Grand Hyatt Bulgari, offered the perfect setting surrounded by backwaters and alive with the aroma of freshly brewed Nilgiri Orthodox teas. Across the convention halls, 39 exhibitors displayed new machinery, packaging, and digital systems for traceability, But the most animated space was the specialty tea tasting pavilion, where tasters explored sub-origin identity, particularly the Nilgiris, through fine orthodox and green teas. There was a sense that India's southern highlands were finally stepping into the spotlight as a premium origin with a distinct voice. The 20th edition of the Golden Tea Leaf Awards celebrated that craft. Producers from Tamil Nadu, Kerala, and Karnataka were recognized across CTC and orthodox categories. Darmona Premium Tea earned top honors for its precision blending, while Periagro collected multiple medals. Beyond the trophies, the awards symbolized renewed faith in quality as the path to profitability. Now let's turn to a few of the standout presentations that framed the conversation in Kochi. Representing the International Tea Committee, James Saranga Pereira grounded the discussions in data. For the first time, he reported world tea production has crossed 7 billion kilograms, projected to reach 7.28 billion in 2025, up 2.8% year-on-year. But that growth has developed a surplus of 250 to 350 million kilograms, roughly 4 to 6% of total output. Pereira pointed to India as a potential stabilizer. Domestic consumption could grow 2 to 2.5% annually as per capita intake climbs towards 1 kilogram. That expansion, he said, would help absorb global oversupply. He contrasted India's limited value addition with Sri Lanka's stronger record in orthodox exports, noting that if India increased value addition by even 60 to 80 cents per kilo, it could boost export earnings by $150 to $200 million, raising total value to $1 billion. Quote, India already produces and consumes 1.4 billion kilos, Pereira concluded. The question is, can it add more value? Opening the convention's third business session, Karush Baruska reminded delegates that tea remains the world's second most drunk beverage, 8 billion cups every day, yet growers earn less than ever. In his presentation, Global Insights into Consumer Trends and Tastes, he identified three long-standing structural challenges: chronic oversupply that suppresses farm prices, a weak share of wallet, that's tea's value share being just a fraction of its beverage volume, and an unequal distribution of value across the crop-to-cup chain. Baruska urged producers and marketers to view emerging consumer trends, health, provenance, and personalization, as opportunities to elevate category value and deliver fair returns to farmers. Quote, tea stimulates yet soothes, he said. It deserves to be valued for both. His message set the tone for a convention that was as introspective as it was ambitious. Closing the final plenary, Harish Bhatt of Tata Sons delivered perhaps the most emotionally charged presentation of the event, Love Tea Again. His five-point roadmap of Tea Lux, Tea Power, Tea Style, Tea Ready, and Tea Dash outlined how India can make tea aspirational, health-affirming, fashionable, convenient, and proudly Indian. Bhatt argued that tea must shed its utilitarian image and reclaim its place as a lifestyle beverage, drawing lessons from wine's heritage marketing, coffee's cafe culture, and chocolate's bean-to-bar storytelling. He called on the industry to ignite new-age emotions around tea. He challenged myths about acidity and dehydration, citing science that positions tea as hydrating and heart-healthy, and he ended with a poetic flourish. Fall in love with tea again, my lovely golden brew. Cool and fun, sun and rain. Sip to smile and sustain. The room rose in applause. His message that rejuvenating India's love affair with tea requires unified effort resonated long after the closing bell. I took to the podium in the opening business session to reflect on the wider forces shaping tea's future. We are witnessing the end of the post-war rules-based system that made global tea predictable. Tariffs, regional blocs, and political volatility now define commerce. The world is no longer flat. It's hyperbolic, tilted by new centers of gravity. But I told delegates that this isn't the end of globalization. It's the evolution of it. The future will be built through coalitions of the willing, smaller, flexible, plurilateral partnerships that share standards, align logistics, and defend fair trade practices even when global institutions falter. For tea, that means cooperation across borders and categories. Orthodox, CTC, green, oolong, and matcha producers acting not in isolation, but as a connected value chain. A global tea alliance, linking associations from India, Sri Lanka, Kenya, China, Nepal, and beyond, could give the industry a collective voice strong enough to influence policy, pricing, and sustainability benchmarks. I urge colleagues to think beyond national silos, to treat data as shared intelligence, not proprietary advantage, to synchronize quality and traceability standards, to speak with one voice when negotiating tariffs and certification rules. Tariffs will rise and fall. Policies will shift, but relationships endure. The tea industry has always thrived on trust, on growers and buyers who keep their word across oceans in a fragmented world. That trust is our most valuable asset. And I ended with this appeal. Let's stand together. Let's act like the global community that we already are. If we connect our strengths, coordinate our voices, and defend the values that make tea human, transparency, fairness, and respect, then the next era of tea can belong to us. This is not the end of globalism. It's simply the beginning of more networked globalism, one shaped by cooperation instead of competition. And the tea industry, with its centuries-old traditions of linking farmers to drinkers, is uniquely positioned to lead that transformation. From Kochi, India, this is Dan Bolton reporting for TBiz News. For additional coverage of ITC 2025 and a list of recipients of the Golden Leaf Awards, visit tea-biz.com. Intrigued by what you heard in today's podcast? Would you like to learn more from our global network of TBiz journalists and tea experts? Remember to visit the TBiz website for more comprehensive coverage. That's www.t-biz.com. Thanks for listening. Farewell till next week.
Produced by Atavita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.